And welcome to an episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Now comes the part where we throw our heads
back.
Oh,
here we go.
Ready?
Ready!
Yes.
Do you taste that? Tastes like victory. man, that redemption splatfest. Sure, you may have won the chicken and the egg, but we won trick and treat, and oh, victory does it taste so sweet.
Yes, you did. You did win. We'll be talking about that a lot, but yeah, it was something. And like I said, we're about to talk about, because I have stories, man. I got stories. Okay. So and also with us, of course, is Tellius Tyler. Tyler.
Tyler.
Oh, hold on. I'm getting handed a note. Wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. Apparently, ladies and gentlemen, in light of the recent election, Tyler has been selected to do the voting recount of North Carolina. I'm not sure why they picked him. I mean, I would do it, but obviously I'm hosting, which is my job, and I'm from Illinois. So maybe that's why. But, I mean, hey, Tyler, if this is why you're gone for the next 2 days, you know, remember, every vote counts. Every vote counts.
And I wonder if because, like, he was so salty. In our Discord, he says, like, Will, did he even play? I showed him my stats.
He did.
I'm sorry. Were you saying, Tyler? Jeez, no. Trying to question my credibility on this NEP podcast. How dare you, Tyler? Are you that salty?
I posted my credentials too, just to show that I did get to King level. So, but yeah, I guess like if you really think about it, Will, that's a little bit telling about Tyler that he would rather be counting votes in an election than hear your witty banter and epic voice clips. So, says a lot. It's a lot. Anyway.
Yeah, what's his stats? I wonder.
Yeah, what's his stats? We posted ours.
We have our receipts. Where's your Tyler?
There you go. I don't know. So maybe he mailed him in. just to be clear, we rooted for Biden, all right? I mean, we're still rooting for Biden. But yes, Tyler, for real though, it was having computer issues, and so he won't be able to join us tonight. So it's just another two-man show with me and Will. So we're gonna get all started off with what have you been playing? And obviously, we started off with the Splatfest, and there are times, Will, when I wonder why I do certain things. Like my birthday weekend was last weekend, and so I intentionally spent time Friday and Saturday playing Splatoon so that I could enjoy it. You know, I didn't have any work at the moment, or if I did, I got it done. And I was just like, I'm going to do this to relax. I'm going to do this to have fun and unwind. And what do I start off with? A massive losing streak. And it's just like, this is supposed to be fun, and I'm not having it. And then I get like a mini win streak, and I feel better. And then I start losing again, and I'm like, I've got to go out on a. This is Friday night. I got to go out on a win, and sure enough, I do. And I get to, I think it was Defender level. No, Fiend. It goes Fanboy, Defender, Fiend, or Fiend Defender.
Fiend then Defender.
Okay, so I got to Defender by Friday night, which I was happy with. So then Saturday comes around, and again I have like very little work. I get it all done, and I start playing Splatoon for like about 2 hours, and. I started off losing again, but then I got the right team. All right, I got the right team, and we had like a 7-8 win streak, and I knew that this could go on for a while. Except I also knew it wouldn't, and I knew exactly why, because the hour hit, and they did the multiplayer reshuffle with the maps. So I lost my team, and sure enough, once I lost them, I started losing matches again. But then I started winning them. Then I lost a few. Then I got back into a good groove. And it was I eventually did get to King level, which I was very, very happy with. So I did my job. But it's not relaxing at all.
I don't know why you think that Splatoon is actually quote-unquote relaxing.
I was just trying to play video games. I had not played a video game outside of Heroes since I beat three houses. And I was just like, this is the time I can relax and just enjoy playing video games. And then I like had the massive lose streak, and I'm like, why am I playing this again?
It's a competitive shooter. Why you think it would be relaxing? Unless you want to go, like, unless you play the normal league, then okay, maybe there is a chance of relaxing. But for me, I just go straight into the pro league, and I know I'm in it to win it. And I'm surprised you lost a fair share of matches, because I thought I lost a lot of my matches, because and some of them were the times 10 multiplier, which I lost a couple and only won that last match before I became king
I
on the
honestly
10 times
had a
plus.
couple chances to win a 10K or 10, I kept saying 10K, 10, 10 times. I think I had one 100, I think.
What?
I only won one. So, and I think, but that was during my big win streak with my team. But what really ticked me off is that there were times when I'll admit I had a bad round, but those were few and far between. I was doing everything right in certain matches, and then either the opposing team were just like straight up assassins, or my team sucked. Like there were times when I would just like hang back and I would be spraying our home turf because they're off, you know, trying to gain a lot of ground immediately, and I'm like, that's
Right,
not
right,
how
right,
you
right,
should
right.
do it. You need to ink your own areas first. So I would at times I would give like a team like two or three chances, and then I would quit, jump back in, and try to get a new squad.
Right,
And that's how I
right, right,
eventually
right,
found my 8-win streak team and everything. But it sucks when you know you're the best player on the team, and like they're not even doing the most basic things to try and win. I'm just like, where is everybody? And there were times where I swear, well, we had like 80% of the map at one point, and then they either got lax or something, and we lost. And I'm just like, how did we lose? So.
Yeah, especially like with the shifting station, going to that, if you control that middle and the opposing
Yeah.
grind rails, that thing was like
That was
brutal.
hard.
That's a brutal part, but
That was brutal. And there were times when we like just dominated it, and there were other times where we couldn't even get in, like get out of the gate, and I'm just like, why is this happening?
I
So,
know,
but
especially like when you have to have the like certain teams, because like I remember like so actually had one match where I had two snipers, which is like, oh my God, that is a worst combo, having two snipers on your team. But yeah, like, and they'd be just, I mean, as both you know, like I still stick with my Splashot Junior, and that thing has always been with me since the beginning. But yeah, there was like some people just like the arrow sprays, and of course the rollers, like they always just more or less kill me. But I managed to get some kills. But even that, I just managed to go and paint the turf. But yeah, there would just be some times in Splatoon, like you are doing the work regardless of what weapons you have. But like there'd be times like you just completely get dominated out of the game. Like, jeez, what is my player team? Are we actually playing with little kids? So, which again, with the entire base that is, I wouldn't be sorry if we have like young kids playing on this game as well. So, who knows? Who knows?
yeah, so but I mean I did again, I got to king level, and I was here, and I got it done. I was very very happy, and then but then we lost, so
Yeah,
yeah.
just the stats as well. Like okay, obviously it's pretty much is a repeat of the first time it went through. Like majority wins was the majority popularity vote was under Trick, but I'm just surprised by like the winning leagues of Treat, because like the normal league separated by a 0.5% lead, which is like holy moly. I think it was like, oh, I think if I recall correctly, I think it was in pretty similar stats in the first time it went through. Like yeah, the pro league we had no problems, we had control over that, but it's the normal league that it was down, literally down to the wire, 0.5%. It's just like holy moly, we were that close, that close.
So, yeah, and then obviously I've been playing Fae, which we'll talk about a little bit later. I'm about up to 270 in orbs, so I'll be ready when that
Wow.
new banner hits, which we'll be talking about later.
Lucky,
And
lucky.
I guess talk about it now. But the final story arc for Book 4 is coming, so that's gonna be curious. We'll talk about that later too. But I'm excited. But and then for my birthday, true story. I
Oh.
asked for literally two things for my birthday. Just two. One was a webcam, because I needed a new one. And one was Super Mario 3D All-Stars. Our dear leader, King Koopa Kid, had a spare webcam. And so I was like, can I have it? He goes, yeah, sure. So he sent it to me, and he saved my mom $100. So I just told her, don't get me anything new. We'll see what I want for Christmas. And she goes, okay. So she bought it off Amazon. She'll get the store credit. She's going to use that. I'm pretty sure she's already used it. I can already tell you what she used it on. But long story. But so I'm just like, what? The other thing I wanted was Super Mario 3D All-Stars. And so I get literally two gifts on my birthday. One is an electric blanket because my apartment is really cold during the winter. And the second, wait for it, is Super Mario 3D All-Stars. So next week / this weekend, I will hopefully start playing that. And because I know you've played it, right?
Yep.
Tyler enjoyed it, especially Galaxy. So I'll be playing it soon, and we'll see how it goes. I've honestly only played Galaxy of the three. I've played Super Mario 64 in parts. Like my friend Tyler had it, and I think one of my cousins had it. So I remember like levels. Like I remember having the wing cap and the penguin mission and all that, and sliding with them. So you know there were things I remember. Sunshine, I only played in a demo. That's where I faced Petey Piranha. And if you really want to feel old, this is when Toys R Us was alive.
Yep.
And it's prime, Will. In its prime, when the video game section was hallowed ground.
Yes, I recall.
Yeah, so I have that, and hopefully by next week I'll have started my journey, starting with Super Mario 64. And so I look forward to that.
Well, for me, like, I've been playing a little bit more of Overwatch. I mean, we just finished up with the Halloween event, so I've just been pacing a little bit of Overwatch, and of course, naturally going back into Fall Guys, which I'm not sure if you have seen on our report on the Outer Haven podcast, the Outer Haven website, as well as on the Twitter. Mediatonic actually has, I'm surprised they actually managed to get a collab, as they actually had a collab costume of Godzilla. Which is like, okay, that I did not see that coming. They had a costume of Godzilla, and it's like, oh my god, it's Godzilla! And like, it had a little carve. It was a nice little collab, to say the least. So yeah, Mediatonic with a Godzilla costume, not bad. And another thing that also showed off in that Godzilla trailer is basically new additions and new variations for the upcoming stages, which we'll be updating very soon. Which, Mediatonic, why are you so cruel? It's bad enough we gotta go through like pendulums and big uteruses and spike uteruses. Now you're gonna add more pain to our suffering.
I mean,
of course, this is MXC basically, but god dang it, how much pain are you gonna put us through suffering in these mini games? It's like, why are you so cruel? It's like, it's bad enough that I just managed to get one crown in my recent days, but yeah, it's just holy moly, it's. I can't imagine what devious things they're gonna do in the upcoming days. So yeah, been paying a bit of Fall Guys, and of course, naturally, with Fire Emblem Heroes, which again, just as we said, we got now the Legendary Banner is more or less come and go. I think only one day left at the time of recording, but yeah, just been training up my Dimitri, and yeah, time skip Dimitri is just like, oh boy, he can hit. He is powerful, and the fact like that C scale of an extra turn on an extra move on an odd turn, that is a very good skill on an infantry unit. So
yeah,
Legendary Dimitri, quite the unit. But holy moly, like everyone here probably knows about Dimitri's time skip timeline on the Azure Moon. What was the time? Is it Crimson Flower, Verdant Wind, Azure Moon, right? Or
Azure Moon, and then Silver Snow.
Holy moly, his voice lines is so depressing. It is just so depressing. So basically he's training up with Dimitri and just getting ready for the next banner, which, yeah, that presentation, it was quite something. Again, we'll talk more later, but that presentation was very interesting. So, yeah, so we gotta see how it is going to the next update. So there's that. But overall, yeah, I managed to go and play a few games. And of course, naturally, I'm just waiting for Yakuza Like a Dragon come out, I believe, on Tuesday, which we have a review up on the site right now. So if you want to... So yeah, for me, I'm just waiting to get Yakuza on PS4. So that I can't wait.
All right. So now we're just going to head straight to the news. And not unlike many of our episodes, there was a lot of news to get to today alone and among other things. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. Let's start with one that's a follow-up to our story, one of our main stories of last week, which is Cloud Streaming Game. You recall, during the final Nintendo Direct Mini Partner Showcase of the year, they announced that Control Ultimate Edition Cloud Version and Hitman 3 Cloud Version was coming to the Switch, and Control is already up for you to get, kind of.
We talked about this last week.
But one of the big things that was noted in the press release about the games was that 505 Games, who is basically the people who helped make this happen. It's Ubitus. My apologies. Ubitus, who was the people who helped make the cloud streaming thing possible. They noted, quote, in addition to 505 Games, Ubitus is currently working with numerous industry-leading game developers aiming to bring their best games to the Nintendo Switch shortly, end quote. And that's very key, because it's not just, oh, it's industry-leading game developers, it's coming shortly. So, yeah, that's going to be curious for sure, because remember a lot of certain reasons that, you know, certain other games, like, just to note, like Kingdom Hearts 3 or Final Fantasy 15, they were noted to not be coming to the Switch in their current forms because they couldn't get it to work on the Switch without serious issues. But if they are able to do it maybe via cloud streaming, that's another story entirely.
I just can't help but wonder, like, what games can be possible if via cloud services, because, like, we already had one example, and that's with the Stadia, and Stadia did horribly, especially if you have it, like, no stable connection. And of course, it's naturally dependent on your internet service, which, yeah, that thing's gonna eat up a lot of your data, if anything else. Just
if you don't have wireless.
So it's just, like, and from what I remember seeing on Control on Switch is just like, yeah, again, as you said, there was queue, so there's only so much you can do in playing it. But, and I mean, while it did hold up better than the Stadia, at least in my comparison, it just feels like there is a lot more they have to improve upon. Because again, Nintendo is not really known for its internet structure, if anything else, with its online play and so forth. So can it really continue on with like cloud gaming on Nintendo Switch? Like, if it's like something like a simple that's not as demanding, perhaps. But with something big like Control, like, is it possible? I mean, I would like to think so, but it is a big chance to come over.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, the Stadia didn't work. The Switch appears to have worked, and I bet you anything that, you know, Ubitus like looked at what happened with Stadia and was like, we can't have that happen here. So, but the other question, and this is honestly a really important one, is just because people can get it on the Switch doesn't mean they will, because especially in this game world that we live in, there are people who have multiple consoles. You know, if I had more games that I wanted to play and I actually had a place to really set them up, my current television situation is not what it once was. I would probably get a PS4. You know, not talking PS5, but just PS4, because, you know, I want to get the Sly Cooper game. I want to finally play Kingdom Hearts 3. There are certain other things I want to get. I might get, like, Metal Gear Solid 5, you know, and, you know, certain other things, because there are games I am curious about, but I didn't just for one reason or another, especially now with my more busy work schedule. But I know that there are people who have, like, all the systems, all of them. So I know several of our Outer Haven crew, for example, have that. So they're like, okay, I can get it to stream on, you know, my Switch, or I can get it to work on my HD 4K plus Knuckles system that I already have set up. So it's like, you can, and it's good that they're probably going to get more, but what does it really mean in the grand scale? So that's going to be the question going forward.
Right. From what we've seen from Control, like, it definitely shows possibility. And again, now they also show, like, they announced that Hitman was going to be coming to cloud gaming for Nintendo Switch. So
I mentioned that.
Yeah, it's just like, how will Hitman run on Nintendo Switch? Because, like, from what I tell, like, even on a base PS4, last I checked, it run pretty decently. But of course, naturally, with like models popping it, like, there's models, because there's a lot that has to be processed in Hitman. And of course, that naturally going to assassination targets, yada, 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 in the mechanics of it all. So to have it come to Switch and with cloud gaming, like, can it run well on Switch? Like, if it's like something similar to like, I don't know, The Witcher, then perhaps. I mean, obviously visual downgrades aside, like, yeah, it's gonna happen, but if they can actually pull that off, then it is a possibility. So I would like to be surprised if they can pull off Hitman, but it is, again, as I said before, it's just like I feel not as certain with regard to cloud gaming, especially with regard to Nintendo's internet online structure. So it's, I don't know, I'm not as hopeful, to say the least, with cloud gaming.
Yeah, it's a complicated thing, so we're just going to have to see where it goes. Now, something that's not complicated is the very epic NPD numbers that came out today, Woo. Much to my surprise. These numbers are not NPD. It was the financial Q2 data. Apologies. Yes, Nintendo has released the sales that they have done for the last 3 months. The months of July, August, and September, and they are quite staggering, actually. So, just in whole numbers, the Nintendo Switch, which includes the base model and Nintendo Switch Lite, has sold 68.03 million units since launch, which is incredible. So, that, yeah. And then, this is honestly, I feel, a bigger one. Just in Q2, they sold 6.86 million units, which is up from last quarter. So, I find that very interesting. And of course, you know that in both the quarter we're in right now and then the final quarter, which is January through March of next year, you know, they're going to get those 2 million. So they're going to be well over 70. I wouldn't be surprised if they're over 70 right now. But yeah, they're going to be over 70 million really quick. So there are, and as we've noted over the course of many podcasts, you know, there are many consoles that did not get over 70 million in sales. And yet the Switch is doing it in, what are we in, year four? So
yeah, we're approaching year four. Yeah, it feels like, yeah.
So that's very impressive.
It just kind of shows, again, we pretty much praise the features of Nintendo Switch. And even after these many years after, it's still going strong. And of course, like, naturally, we're going to Nintendo's business practice. Says whether you like them or hate them, like with of course the upcoming Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon game coming out later on, or with Mario 3D All Stars with that limited time release, like, it only goes to shows that, again, Nintendo has quality games. We want to play them on, like, on the go. It's just like it is, has something for everyone. I mean, heck, even the Ring Fit and Labo Kids, and of course the recent Mario Kart Circuit Live. That thing, it just kind of shows that it has everything for everybody. So, yeah, just for it to just continue going on and with the possible future of a quote-unquote Nintendo Switch Pro model in the works, it's definitely looking good for Nintendo if they should want to go step up with their current plans right now. So, I'm happy to see these numbers.
I'm thrilled. I mean, again, they sold over basically almost 7 million in the last quarter, which you think they wouldn't have been able to do, but given, you know, the lockdown and everyone's wanting to play video games, now is kind of the time to splurge and just get yourself some entertainment. So, yeah. So
yeah, and of course, like, I mean, as I mentioned on prior podcasts as well, and of course, like, even with this lockdown, like, and now Ring Fit Adventure is actually being much more readily available now. So, yeah, if you want to go do exercise and you don't want to go outside, please get the Ring Fit, get a Switch. You can get jacked easily. So, yes.
Are you jacked, dear Will?
I wish. I'm not even doing it on the weekend, so sadly. But I have been, like, working up past, like, 30 minutes and 30, 40 minutes now, so.
I'm working up. As a guy who's doing the workout the regular way, I am not jacked either. But even my parents are like, Todd, your arms are getting pretty big. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. Like, I've been working on my legs and my core, and yeah, leg day. Again, never skip leg day, people. Never skip leg day.
That's why I do the elliptical and treadmill every single workout. So, now heading to the software, where we have some very interesting numbers to show you. So, our number one game is still Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which that's so fascinating. It almost makes you wonder what's going to happen when Mario Kart 9 inevitably comes out. Because, again, this is a port. is a port, and it's now at 28.99. It's 29. Okay, let's round it up. It's 29
yeah, yeah,
million.
Yeah, 29 million.
So, you know, that's well over... Let's see. What, 70... Yeah, it's well over a third of all Switch owners have Mario Kart. And then really close behind is Animal Crossing New Horizons, which is at over 26 million units. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to say the bet right here. This is going to be the best-selling game on Switch. I'm calling it, especially because we don't know how long the pandemic is still going to go on. If the cases are still really bad, there's a resurgence going on. And I'm just going to call it. People are going to be like, I'd rather live an Animal Crossing life than regular life. They're going to get it. It only needs 3 million more.
I do not blame them, especially with everything like with everything that's happening right now and like with constant updates from the team. Yeah, we just came out from Halloween, so why not just live your life and get ready for Thanksgiving in a safe, good environment? And then you actually can do like some meetings on your island, so why not? It's the perfect and safe way, plus it's much more cheerier.
Yeah, and don't forget, who doesn't want their own island? It's like it's right there. And now this way you don't have to spend millions of dollars on your island. You just have to spend millions of bells. It's totally different. All right. Anyway, going down the list, Smash Brothers is at 21 million. Breath of the Wild is ever closer to 20 million. Sword and Shield is over 19 million. Mario Odyssey is at 19 million. Let's Go, Pikachu and Eevee, 12.5. Mario Party, 12.1. That's not bad. Splatoon, 11.2. Mm-mm. Mario Brothers U Deluxe, like another port, 8.32. Luigi's Mansion 3, 7.83. Will's favorite game, Ring Fit Adventure, 5.84. And here comes the big ones. Are you ready for this? Super Mario 3D All-Stars, which, remember, released in September, 5.21 million. And remember, if as we reported last week, 1.8 million of that was digital sales. So, and again, the Q2 data ends at the end of September, so that number is higher. Like, I would be shocked if it's not like closer to 7 million right now. So,
it's definitely gonna get more steam as we approach that March cutoff date. Yeah.
Oh. Which is, again, I would be shocked. I know you said this too, but like, we would be shocked if they honestly upheld the cutoff date. I'm like, why? You're selling millions. So, and then Paper Mario the Origami King, which was a game we've really been curious about, 2.82 million. Mm-hmm, so big bounce back from Color Splash, which again sold less than 200,000. So just saying. And then Clubhouse Games, 51 Worldwide Classics, almost 2 million. And then Xenoblade Chronicles Definitive Edition, 1.4 million. I thought that would be higher. Just saying.
Again, with all the reiterations from the original Wii U and, of course, the new 3DS models. Like,
yeah,
unfortunately, like some of them were already been played, but now this is obviously the perfect version for this game. So, again, not many people like their anime swordsmen and all that. You know how the Nintendo fan bases are, sadly.
Yeah, you either love it or you hate it. It's sad but true. And then there's Tyler, who hates it, denies its greatness for many years, and then finally plays, and he's like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. And we're like, we told you! Tyler, put those votes down, Tyler. You gotta count every one. You hear me? I didn't tell you to stop the count, Tyler. Okay, I don't care that you're mad that we brought up your spotted history. You will count those votes. There you go. Get back to work, Tyler. All right. So, but anyway, in conclusion, this has been a huge quarter for Nintendo, and now we're in arguably their biggest quarter, where you know they're gonna do really well with the sales, especially for. I know we're going to kind of outside the brand here, but Sony announced that all sales of PS5 are going to be online only.
Right.
They're not going to do it in stores, and I honestly think that's going to hinder them at first, because there's only so many they can give to certain stores like Amazon, Walmart, Best Buy, blah blah blah. So like, I don't know how that's going to work, but we shall see. So that gives Nintendo the opening.
Right. So. Nintendo Switches are still ready, available, be it online or physical retailers. And from what I also have been seeing, just recently announced it on the PS4 stuff. PS5 is again one. Unfortunately, like Boss Koopa Keefe reported, is not going to be at the native 144 P visuals or and it also won't be expandable storages at launch. So PS5 is not really looking appealing to me anyway. It's just like, unless you're like a really diehard, I just want to be like one of the first few people to go along with the hype train. Yeah, personally for me, PS5 is not really looking that good in my opinion. So I mean, heck, I would argue probably even the Xbox Series X is actually much more appealing because, again, it is the much more powerful system. So either way, this coming next-gen season is going to be seeing if our predictions are true that Nintendo can actually steal one from those two.
So it's going to be it's gonna be curious, that's for sure. So, yeah. And this actually ties into another story that came out, was that the Nintendo president Shintaro Furukawa has confirmed in the conference call that the Switch production, which if you recall earlier in the year they were having issues because of the global pandemic, it's totally fixed. Woo. Like everything is fine now. Everything is fine. The room is not on fire. I am drinking my coffee without flames. So if you don't get that meme, look it up. All right. It's 2020. Know the memes. But yes, he goes, quote, "The Switch hardware momentum remains strong, and we think that's because production has recovered, so customers who were previously unable to find a Switch on store shelves are now able to," end quote. Which, again, explains why they were up in sales from Q2 to Q1. Because in Q1 they were having the shortages, but now they were not. So, very good. And again, that's perfect because, again, holiday season. So, all right, moving on to, let's see. Oh, yes, this was other big news. I literally had to stop to write this article because I was just so floored by it. Oh. Pokemon Go. Tyler, put down your phone. Tyler, I know you want to play, but you got to count those votes. Back to the votes, Tyler. There you go. Tyler hates Pokemon Go. But, yes, Pokemon Go had some very interesting data revealed about it. And long story short, in 2020 alone, which, again, is not done, it has grossed $1 billion in revenue. $1 billion. All right? And you're like, well, is that really that impressive? Yes. Okay. First and foremost, it's never had this in its entire history before in a singular year. I have the chart in front of me. In 2016, which was when the game launched, it had $832 million in player spending. All right. 2017, where it took the big hit, was $589 million. Yeah, big hit. They made over $500,000. 2018, they rebounded huge with $828 million. 2019, they had $902 million. And right now, they're sitting comfortably at $1 billion in player spending. And they still got 2 months to go.
It's just really, I mean, most likely it's probably on the overseas market as well. But the fact that, again, this year is pretty much like really down for anybody going outside right now, especially in this current pandemic right now. So like, how the heck it got this much money? I have no idea. Perhaps like from outer revenues of like, I don't know. I have not played Pokemon Go in like ever, so I don't know what's being updated. But how is this? I mean, I would expect that like Pokemon Trainer EX to actually do more better, but to have them doing this much amount of moolah, like in this pandemic, which, like, again, the game literally tells you go outside, but we can't go outside. There's a sickness out there. And
well, but that's the thing though. That you're partly right. Like that's why I was kind of floored by this, because the pandemic is you're supposed to stay inside, but with Pokemon Go, you have a reason to go outside. Social distance, because you don't have to play with anybody. They're just everyone's around, and you can go catch Pokemon while wearing a mask, while getting some exercise, staying active, even if it's just walking around your house or going out in your backyard. So they were probably using Pokemon Go as an escape mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. So like it's crazy for sure. And here's some of the numbers that I found very interesting. So this is 11% more than all of last year, and again, we got 2 months to go. 30% more was spent in the first 10 months than in 2019. All right. It's the number 3 mobile game by global player spending outside of Android stores, such as ones in China. That's kind of weird. To date, this is a big one. To date, $4.2 billion in player spending. Yeah. All right.
And I thought Otaku's from Fire Emblem Heroes would spend more so much money. Yeah, it only shows that Pokemon fans could even top that even
Yeah, well,
better.
remember, you and Tyler only have so much money. So, now here's another big one. Here's another big one. All right, in terms of player spending by country, all right, 1.5 billion from the United States, 1.3 billion from Japan. So, US spends more than Japan, which you'd think would be the other way around. Germany is in number three. All
Ah,
right.
the
Yeah, I
Germans.
know. And I think okay, that's downloads. That's different. So yeah, so like I would not expect Germany to be that big. Let's see. 600 million unique installs. US is number one for downloads. Oh, guess the second country with most downloads of Pokemon Go. It's not Japan.
The UK?
No.
South America.
Bill, I said country.
Okay, then I have no idea.
You were in the right continent. It's Brazil.
Oh, okay.
65 million Brazilians have downloaded Pokemon Go, which is crazy. But remember, they weren't in the top three player spending, so that just means they're probably just playing it and not buying. And then Mexico is number three. Crazy.
Oh yeah, like
Crazy.
Nintendo is going initiative to like sell Switch in Brazil, not in South America. So yeah,
Sure.
they maybe that's it. Probably the
Sure.
moving of it. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Props to you, Nintendo and oh, sorry, not Nintendo, Niantic and Pokemon Go for having a banger of a year, and even with it getting cold, it will still make you money. So I wouldn't be surprised if they made, I don't know, 1.2, 1.3 billion this year off player spending. It just depends on the temperature and how much people are willing to spend. So, yay. All right, moving on to Pikmin 3 Deluxe, which launched last week. And we're having a little bit of conflicting numbers here because, on one hand, as one of our fellow Outer Haven people noted, in Japan, it's selling more than the Wii U version did, which, on the surface, isn't that surprising. But in the UK, as I saw, it's doing less than the Wii U version did at launch. So, and I have no, and obviously I have no idea about the American numbers. So, I'm not sure. I have a feeling it'll get over a million just because there's going to be people who want to play Pikmin on the Switch. But yeah, I don't know if this is going to make as big a splash as some of the other things we've gotten.
From what I can tell, because like even regarding to the small numbers of the Wii U back when it first released it, like a lot of people did manage to go and play the original Pikmin 3 when it came out for Wii U. I mean, sure, it was definitely like not as many people, so it didn't really get that much exposure. But perhaps like that's the reason why there has been so much little numbers in like the UK, because like many people, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people bought the original Pikmin 3 on Wii U. While like for people who haven't skipped up, who skipped it on the Wii U version and just like decided to well pick up the deluxe edition for Switch, then it's yeah, like perhaps that's the reason why they have much more higher numbers.
Curious saying it again and again, where's Pikmin 4?
Yeah, apparently they're still working on it, but I don't
They
know.
said
We'll
they were
check
done!
it
They said Pikmin 4 was done! They said that years ago.
out. Maybe
Lies.
I think that's lies. There's no because again, will you ever actually trust Shigeru-san Miyamoto to actually say straight,
No.
especially with his age right now? I mean, no offense, he is getting old in age now.
All right. Next up, we have Bravely Default 2, which, as we recalled last week, has been delayed until February 21st of next year. And Square Enix released a massive, massive amount of character details and story details and world details and battle system details, and we copied a lot of it. I copied a lot of it, like I was gonna write this. Are you kidding me? Come on. But yes, Gematsu had a full breakdown and we borrowed some of it. And I won't read it all to you because that's not award-winning television. But I will read to you it's the plot, more or less. The saga begins with our hero Seth, a young sailor, washes up on the shore of one of Excellent. Okay, pause. Can I just say that's a terrible name? Excellent. What's our continent? Excellent. Come on. Can you be more on the nose? I mean, I know this is supposed to be an anime, kind of RPG, but Excellent, really?
I thought like yeah, I thought that like the origin would probably be for Epsilon or something of that sort. That's where my head was going with.
Epsilon would have been better. So yeah, but anyway, continuing on, here he meets Gloria of Musa, a princess who fled her kingdom when it was destroyed by evil forces bent on stealing its crystals. He also encounters Elvis, the idiot, and no, that doesn't say that. I just made that, put that in there. And Adele, great singer. Two travelers determined to decipher a mysterious and magical book guided by fate. It's up to you to stop the forces that threaten these heroes and all of Exelant. So yeah, it's an RPG. It's like, what do you want? You want nuance? Come on. But anyway, we honestly do have breakdowns of the characters, the world of Exelant, all the countries and basic other places you'll get to go to. And on the full Gematsu article, they break down the battle system. So if you're really wanting to know more about Bravely Default 2, check out our webpage, and then you can find the full Gematsu link in there. So again, it's not coming out till February, but if you want to, get a little more hype going for yourself, here you go. All right, moving on. We already talked about Splatfest. Let's stop talking about that. Fire Emblem Heroes. So yeah, we got two things to talk about here. So first and foremost, as noted in the opener, final chapters of Book 4 is coming in the final update, which should be in a day or two, and we're not sure how that works. So spoilers for those of you who haven't played Fire Emblem Heroes up to now, or haven't caught up in the story chapters, you're gonna have about 5 seconds to get out of here. 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, so we're doing the whole Inception dream within a dream thing, which I honestly didn't realize until right now as I started to think about the dream within a dream. Like, oh, this is Inception. Really clever, Nintendo. But yeah, we're having a dream within a dream within a dream sequence, and we find out that Alphonse is not Alphonse. He's actually Glyph, who is dreaming that he's Alphonse because Alphonse is apparently dead. That won't stick. And who knows about Shireen anymore? I don't know what they're going to do with this. And the evil queen of dreams, who is very anime. I'm just going to leave it there. I'm just going to leave it there. Anime Game of Thrones, there you go. But she's like proclaiming her victory or something. And if they wake up, then Alphonse is really dead, even though he's technically already dead. And now we got a glimpse of our own world, which is called the World of Steel or something, where dreams go to die. No political pun here, please. And it's like, okay. And I was like, okay, this will go like for a few more chapters and we'll find out the truth about Alphonse and Shireen. And like, nope, next chapter is the end. How?
It's like the chapters themselves, like even I had a little bit of difficulty like even following, because again, it's bad enough that it had goals with the Inception story and that like I'm actually the summoner. Like, what? And they're gonna wrap up the story. We're going to hold the demon, the dream king, and the dream world is just like, what is going on? The
Yeah.
warped reality. Like, oh God. And I thought Star Wars had a freaking convoluted story. It's like, ugh. I mean, okay, intelligence system, I do got a question. What are you doing? Maybe it is like continuing from that third story of the whole death. And apparently, yeah, did they kill Death, or was it that Alphonse was already dead in the beginning, and that's how he go into the dream world? It's just like, it is so convoluted. It's like, I couldn't really follow.
See, this is part of the problem with Fae, as much as we enjoy it, is that because of the story structure of, 5 chapters every like a week or so, not including paralogues, obviously, it's like it's hard to remember things. Like with Shireen and oh yeah, like sometimes the fairy children will swap places with real children because that's totally a thing. And now Shireen isn't sure if she's real or not, and it's just like, how are you gonna convince her otherwise? And then the evil fairies weren't really evil. They were just given power so they could protect each other. And Piona was actually Triandra's sister. And it's, oh gosh, make it stop.
Like a web within a web within a web. Like, okay, now you're just getting really messy now, intelligence system.
They're going full anime, Will. Okay? You never go full anime. All right? Never. So it's like, now don't get us wrong. There are times when like the if they have just done the dream within a dream thing, You know, like with the my character's name is Glyph, but Glyph Alphonse Summoner storyline. That could have worked. But when you're doing that on top of the Dream Within a Dream Within a Dream, and, you know, killing the Dream King, which didn't work in the end, so it was kind of a hollow victory, and Shireen is going through her role, like, am I actually a real person or a fairy? And it's like, and then you throw this twist, and then, like, we're about to end the story. How are you going to wrap this up in 5 chapters? That's a lot of loose ends. And I honestly feel, and I'm just speculating, I honestly do not know, I think they're going to end this on a cliffhanger. I think they're going to cliffhanger this mother, and, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, this leads into the next storyline where... Okay, we're doing Norse mythology, so let's see. We already had Surtur, that's fire. We had Hell is death. We have, of course, the dream fairies, light and dark. What's left?
What other realms of...
Well, there's 9 realms. Niflheim's the frost giant, so we can't do them. There's the ogres, technically.
Oh, yeah, the realm.
So, I don't know, but, like, it's like, they're gonna, I have a feeling they're gonna leave it on a cliffhanger, or maybe the ending is that they go into the world of steel, because why mention that? You know, why are you just like, oh, I had a dream about the world of steel, and it's like, okay, so he's gonna have, go into the modern day, that's fine.
That would be interesting. I mean, again, the fact that we did have Tokyo Mirage Sessions collab, so there is, that is that possibility.
True. So, I don't know, it's just, it's so confusing.
It is.
And I'm a writer, I mean, like, this is the stuff I live for, is deep, intricate storylines, but there's intricate, and then there's this.
All right, just, like, throwing darts on the odd dartboard, and like, okay, which one sticks? Okay, we'll just put it that, we'll put in that, like,
Yeah, and I know some people are out there are going to be like, well, wait a minute, Inception was a deep story. Inception had rules, all right? They literally said, you know, this is how you dream. This is how you do the Inception dream. This is how you do the dream within a dream within a dream. And you watch the process going up to the end, and then you see it all rewind until, you know, they all wake up and everything is better. You know, they set the rules. There's no rules here, okay? They keep changing them. So, like, oh, we have to have the dream horn. Oh, the dream horn's not working. Oh, it's because we're still in a dream somehow. But wait a minute, we were supposed to kill the king, and that would get us out of the dream. Apparently not. And now there's, like, the sisters, the fairies, and, you know, I am the summoner, not Alphonse. Like, where's the rules? Where is it?
Yeah. So we'll just have to wait to see how Intentionism's gonna wrap this up with this chapter, which, okay, what? I mean, we'll just have to wait and see how it's going to proceed.
I mean, this is... I mean, I know Tyler really wants to go talk about this because, you know, he's not a fan of this one or how the Hell storyline ended and whatever. And I'm the same way. It's the Surtur one ended too quickly, in my opinion. And this is, like, the recurring theme. They just, like, end the story. And it's just like, why? Like, you could have gone a little longer.
Right. I mean, I still like that, like, in book 2, we're going to film. Apparently, she is dying because of that ritual, and we don't know what happens afterwards. Like, are we going to return it? Is Fionn going to live? Is Fionn going to die? Like, come on. Don't leave us hanging with that, guys.
Yeah. Well, remember, she also apparently has, like, a major crush on Glyph, which, or, sorry, the Summoner. Summoner, and, like, which is, like, basically every woman in the game. So, you know, again, Fire Emblem Harem. So... It's like, I don't know. And again, this is forever going to be the chapter known for the lewd dream. Like, how did that get through?
Oh, they can do much worse.
Oh, I know, Will. Trust me, I know, but still. All right. But, and then the second one, which me and Will have a mini personal debate on, is that the next Special Heroes banner is not Halloween themed, which I'm grateful for. But then again, they already did the trick or treat banner again with dragons. So yeah, I apologize. Yes. But they're not doing like a Thanksgiving thing or whatever. They're doing ninjas.
Yep.
Which on the surface, fine. Ninjas are, you know, a big part of Fire Emblem folklore, especially in recent games
and
like
Fates,
with Kagero and Saizo and all of them, Gaius. So, but the problem is that they just decided, hey, let's pick random characters and turn them into ninjas. Like, they're introducing Zyhark for the first time from Path of Radiance, Radiant Dawn, and turning him into the ninja. He's a swordsman. That's not the same. And then they paired Lin and Fiora?
Yeah.
Lin and Fiora together, and now they're a tag team ninjas. Okay. And then there's Lavatane.
And Navarre.
And it's just like, you're just making random ninjas? Are you out of ninjas? I highly doubt you're out of ninjas. Are they out of ninjas? I don't think they're out of ninjas.
No. I mean, again, look, the fact, okay, we have Kaze, we have Saizo, we have Kagero.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, not really
quote-unquote
ninjas, but again, we have Gaius. But we also have, like, I wouldn't really consider them ninjas, but I guess like, they are the Nor ninjas, which is Felicia and Fiora. So. So we come to the a lot of people kind of questioning about this lineup is like, I mean, I personally don't mind it because like a lot of people just have like you two had problems with going to Lavatane because like why you both asked why I can do advertising for the heroes teams. Like sure, Alphonse, we have that, we're going to that dual hero. Sure, we don't mind. They're the main characters in this game. But why have like Lavatane here again? It's like that is curious to say the least. I mean, again, now we have OG Lavatane, New Year's Eve Lavatane, a speech Lavatane, and now with this one, this got a full Lavatane emblem, which is with Ninja Lavatane. So, like, personally for me, I mean, out of mind is like if they want to continue to advertise for the heroes cast, then hey, it's up to them. Like, yeah, because even with book two Guntra, because like yeah, there's the OG, the beach, New Year's Eve is like they only at most at three, and according with I think it was Sigurd, yeah, does it check. So I mean they could definitely do a lot more with regards to other characters. Of course, like yeah, I know a lot of Fire Emblem traditionalists wants more like classic characters like from Path of Radiance or even the older games. Like, yeah, bring those two. We don't need more heroes representation. Kind of like a whole like a Smash debate in a sense. But yeah, for me, I don't mind it. Like, Lavatane is here. I mean, heck, I would ask for put in more like Agar or like something else. I mean, eventually they gotta put in the dream characters naturally. That's pretty much the next course of action. But I just don't mind like what this dual like with Lavatane being in this roster, and plus with Lin as a dual hero with Fiora. Like again, we had Hector and Eliana as a dual hero from the Halloween banner. So oh, yeah. Now next is Lin. So
is it Fiora or Florina?
I think it's Florina. Yeah.
Yeah, because Fiora is Felicia's sister.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. There's a lot of names to remember, people.
Yeah. So obviously, like, yeah. Okay. We have Hector. We got Lin as a dual hero. Now, obviously, the next part dual hero, we've got to get a dual hero Illywood in due time. So it's just a matter of who's. But this banner, I mean, again, they also put an emphasis as well that these are dual wielding sword axes, and like. That they kind of put an emphasis on that, which okay. So what is going to be another weapon class to really consider about like dual weapons or of that such? So I don't know. Like it was an interesting banner, but I don't really. I mean, I'm not offended or angered by it, but I don't mind it. So I didn't really see any problem with it.
For me, again, it's just it's random. I mean. Ninjas, okay, that's awesome, but like you could have done like super powered versions of the ninjas we had. Like you could have done like a trio of just Saizo,
Kaze,
and then Kagero. You know, you could have done like super versions of them, like royalty versions of them, like if they had married one of the royalty of Hoshido. You know, like royal aide or royal assassin or whatever, and he could have done like super souped up versions. I mean, they just did two Dimitris back to back with one as the savior king and one as not. So it's like you couldn't have just done like a super version of these three characters, and instead you're just grabbing random ones. And again, I'm mad Zyhark is being introduced in this because he's an epic swordsman on his own. He doesn't need to be a ninja, nor could he be a ninja in Path of Radiance or Radiant Dawn. So it's really confusing to me. And then Florina, Lin, I can make a case for Lin being a ninja because in many ways, she's a ninja swordsman. Like that's just who she is. But Florina, she's a Pegasus Knight and she would never be good at the stealth. Like that's not her character at all. Navarre would have fun. Navarre would have fun with it, but no, it's just too rare. And then the art for Lavatane, like that looks so weird. All right,
I guess, and I can understand the point of preview. Like, yeah, it's not as like the similar art that we're so used to. I mean, the artist himself, check on the artist. It is currently up on their official Twitter page. Yeah, like the art itself is like it's definitely not like the usual artwork that we're so used to, but it is that sense of unique style, because again, they're trying to go with that whole unique ninja flair, which it there is cultural relevance to that design.
I'm sure there is. It looked like when we get sometimes these characters that look so different from everybody else in one form or another, and it just shows, like Arthur, Rebecca, who was the pirate with the broom?
I forgot.
Yeah, well, he looks like uber realistic, and it's just like, you know, that's very distracting. And then you got like more others like that are darker, which are fine because, you know,
that's Yagen. I don't know, personally for me, I don't like Yagen's design.
Yeah, like, so it's like, you know, then I see Levitain, and it's just like, it looks so odd. It just does. All right, anyway, if you are interested in the ninja's banner, do let us know. Or if you're not, please go and mock Will.
Hey. And also, yeah, just as a wrap up for Fire Emblem, because they also introduced a new mode coming in, which is Loki's Pawns, which is basically a chess game. We're going to in-game former units, which, okay. I mean, I guess I can kind of see the appeal. Basically, you are having these different units that is based on your brigades, which is, that's the most interesting part I noticed.
Yeah. So it's going to be curious for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So for our main event, we're going to full disclosure here. When Tyler was supposed to be here instead of counting votes in North Carolina, we were going to do our own version of the election just to kind of have a little bit of fun. We're going to postpone that to next week, barring something else happening. And we're going to have a slightly more toned down main event. Mainly, as we alluded to earlier, cloud streaming. This could be a huge haven for major games coming to the Switch. But what ones are likely or even potential to come to the Switch via the cloud service? So we're going to break this down in a new meeting of the NEP Secret Society. Alright, so I call this meeting to order, and Will, we're just going to keep it simple. Let's go back and forth, and let's pick some games that we feel could come to life on the Switch via the cloud service. And I'm going to go start off with one that everybody's asking for Switch, Kingdom Hearts 3.
Okay.
Yeah, because Tetsuya Nomura gave the excuse. He said, hey, I can't bring it to Switch without toning it down. Apparently, cloud surfing or whatever is the way to get around that with Control and Hitman. So if they can make that work and they can make it look good, I see no reason for Kingdom Hearts 3 to not come to the Switch and give Nintendo fans the just desserts that they deserve.
Yeah, like Kingdom Hearts is definitely due back to on Nintendo console, and they just recently released it, the whole the story so far edition of, like, again, the entire series up to 3, and who knows when we get the next entry aside, yeah, from a magical melody of memory. So yeah, but yeah, Kingdom Hearts 3 is definitely a game that I feel like is that could possibly run on this game, because even on, like, when I played on base PS4, like, my machine was still running pretty loud, but it was manageable, to say the least. I mean, of course, there's Agon vertical climbing, all that, the whole verticality, that's what basically known for. And of course, like, the battle system and the flares and graphics that, again, we always knew about with the Kingdom Hearts series. So to have it do a cloud streaming to play on Nintendo Switch, I feel it's doable. I honestly feel it's doable. Obviously, downgrades here and there, but I feel it's definitely doable because, again, like, why not play Kingdom Hearts once again on Nintendo platforms? I mean, we've been playing it for 3DS for so long. Now it's time to put it on Switch. So, yeah, I definitely feel like it can definitely do so.
Yeah. All right, so what's your first game that you think could come to the Switch as a cloud version?
For a cloud version of a game, like, if they want to do something, like, really big that can actually be played on Nintendo Switch, I mean, at first my mind was going to Persona 5, but I think Persona 5
yes!
is put on a cartridge, because, like, including the Persona 5 Royal Edition, like, I feel like it's not as demanding. It's the Persona 5 has been very stylized itself, so Like I don't think it would take too much on the hard drive space or even SD card space. But if they have to, then yeah, I think Persona 5 can play on a cloud service game if Atlas and Sega would want to do so. Because yeah, now with Joker's inclusion in Smash Brothers, like if they can't bring it on the Switch or even with Scrambles, which Sega, Koei Tecmo, can you bring Scrambles already?
Screw that, bring us Royal.
So, like, if they can't put it on the whole cartridge, if they can't do the whole downgrade on put all that gaming goodness on a cartridge, then yeah, perhaps cloud gaming would be the best next option to bring Persona 5 Royal on Nintendo Switch. So yeah, bring a full-fledged Persona game to Nintendo Switch, because there's just so much I can imagine what they can do, and perhaps even do an exclusive like features for the game. So that I feel like they could probably do Persona 5 Royal on the Switch via cloud service.
Yeah, Persona 5 would be huge. Like, I know it's unlikely, especially with the not westernization of Scramble, which might honestly be a good sign, because it's like, it's clear they know the Americans don't want Scramble, let's give them Royal, and I'll buy that day one. Alright? And you're right, I honestly feel like this is more of an exclusivity issue
than
a graphics issue, because when you look at Persona 5, it's not graphically taxing. I mean,
nope.
You're telling me that this is more taxing than No More Heroes? I mean, I know obviously it's a slightly different style, but it looks the same-ish, with the hard colors and the lines and everything, and it looks like a hand-drawn anime.
It's a great style, very cel shaded, but again, like, the art style is just it's just perfect. Especially, it will definitely work very well on Switch, I feel like.
So, yeah, I want that one, and I think it would sell incredibly well on Switch, whether it's cloud or cartridge. So we'll just have to see how that plays. Mm-hmm. So my next game, it's a bit of a bold choice. I'm picking Cyberpunk 2077.
Ah.
I kid. Apparently, they're having trouble with the current gen consoles, which are supposed to be super HD plus knuckles, and yet they can't. There's no way they could cloud that to... Although, actually, now that I say that out loud, they are putting it on Stadia.
Right.
Which is cloud streaming, so that technically could work. I don't think it'll work. I think that something will prevent it from being cloud streamed on Switch, but... So I'm just going to put that to the side. Let's see, what really... It's tricky, because obviously there's going to be, like, super exclusive games that you're never going to get.
Right.
Like, I would love the Sly Cooper saga to be cloud-streamed to Switch, but that's PlayStation tied. It's a little harder when you're trying to take out the exclusives. Like...
Right. Because, like, again, with Microsoft and Sony, like, again, like, just to, not to, like, jump on your
go.
But basically, like... I would have said, like, with Final Fantasy VII Remake, if they can.
If
they ever got out of that exclusive, because it was Sony exclusive, then, yeah, if they actually played... Because, again, we now have, like, many Final Fantasy games on Nintendo Switch, like, from Classic 7 to 9 to 10 to HD Remaster. It's just, like, if they ever decide to bring Final Fantasy VII Remake to Nintendo Switch via cloud service or any way, then yeah, like, this only expands the service to bring more, I guess, more focus to Sony in a sense. Because sure, they have like give it like 1-2 years or even 3 years time of exclusivity. And should they ever like, because again, we know Square Enix always love to like remix and re-release their games over and over again. So I would not be surprised like if like Sony and Square Enix finally get up there like. Bad relations with Nintendo, and then like finally actually put Final Fantasy VII Remake on Nintendo Switch. So that's the dream, but that's a dream to say the least.
So I'll go a little more low key one, and let's say Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. Yeah, that's not coming to Switch at present. And it just released. I'm already hearing good things. And Ubisoft obviously has a great relationship with Nintendo. So I could totally see them bringing Assassin's Creed over, doing a test, how it works. And then if it does work, then, they'll try and bring some of their other titles. Like, they've got some big ones coming out, And, I see this as a distinct possibility. And it's, not a low-key franchise, obviously, but it's one that I feel that is so multi-platform that they could bring it over there, again, as a test to see how it works, and then, you know, pushing things forward and, you know, going from there. Because, mm-hmm. you know, we really got to look at this from who has something to gain from putting these on Switch. Because they said, oh, you know, game-changing, you know, industry-leading game developers. Well, that can mean anything. I mean, it could be just like, you know, graphics, gameplay, you know, hit titles, you know, this, that, or the other.
I mean, let me just briefly look again with current, like, third-party titles that currently is on Switch. For example, Wolfenstein, Doom, like, yeah, those games actually run pretty well on Nintendo Switch. And, of course, like, naturally you see other titles, like, great titles, like, big open-world titles, like with Witcher 3. That thing runs, even with the downgrade, it runs very good on Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
So, like, regarding to how, like, what other great, like, good third-party titles that can possibly come, yeah, like you said, Assassin's Creed Valhalla could possibly run on Nintendo Switch. Granted, there is definitely that possibility, to say the least, should they want to do some trade-offs and sacrifices. And, like, what other major titles that could probably be said, like, heck, for me, like, going a little bit onto the Sega side of things, like, personally for me, I would like, we never did actually got the Yakuza series on Nintendo platforms aside from the Japan's only Wii U system, because they did brought Yakuza 1 and 2 HD on Japan only. So I would love to see if Sega like should go and bring like the Yakuza series to Nintendo Switch. So like that's another one of my picks.
I just thought of a one that came out recently that might work. Avengers. Because here's the thing. I know that's like, well, wait a minute, the game kind of sucks. It does. But, they're working on it right now. Like, they're trying really hard, Crystal Dynamics, to fix it. You know, they're trying to, you know, fix it so that it can be better and everything, including with its DLC. So give it a few months, let them work out everything, and then port that to the Wii U via the cloud stream, and now you have a much better game that the gamers know will be theoretically better, and as a result, there you go.
Right. And I guess like this is just me also going reaching for the bottom of the barrel, but of course naturally the biggest market is like battle royales and all that, so why not bring in Call of Duty into Switch?
Oh gosh.
Like,
well, I mean, if they wanted to, Cold War.
Right. They have actually yeah, on the Wii U. But then again, I imagine we're going to hold into the online service, which, again, Call of Duty has always been more about multiplayer, to say the least, aside from single player, which I don't know why they want to focus on single player. Single player is actually one of the better parts of Call of Duty and their campaigns. But yeah, now I think about it, perhaps like Call of Duty wouldn't be the best choice because, again, they is really more or less multiplayer focused. And again, as we know, Nintendo's internet infrastructure isn't actually the greatest thing. So probably I wouldn't really say Call of Duty, to say the least. I mean, story, if it's a single player, sure. But multiplayer, yeah, I think I'd probably just omit that part. So I don't know if that's my thinking.
Yeah, it's complicated. Is again, the real question here, and I brought this up earlier, is that, yes, you could in theory bring every non-exclusive title to the Switch. That's not the issue. But as Keith and you and everybody else have reported, cloud gaming, cloud streaming is not the easiest thing to do. So it's really for people who really want to play these games on Switch and are willing to potentially have some hurdles, you know, within the queue, streaming and the internet service and everything, to try and do it. And that's not for everyone.
Right.
And so for the developers, they're not just trying to do this. They're not just trying to, you know, see if it works. They want to make sure that they make money off of it. So any game that they put on the Switch via the cloud service is a big step, but it's also a big risk. It's a curious thing for sure.
It's one, like, if they should they, like, these companies definitely choose to, like, bring cloud gaming to Switch, because again, as we stated before, Stadia was like their first example to actually do cloud gaming, which failed horribly.
Yeah.
So to see it like trying to be attempted on Switch, and of course, like, there's also different other cloud gaming services like PlayStation Now, which Sony has been trying to push. And what is there a cloud gaming service for from Microsoft's side? I don't recall. Or is it like a Game Pass? I don't know. But like, yeah, for now to actually try to do cloud gaming via Switch-wise is just like, okay. Because unfortunately, we don't have any good examples of good or even decent cloud gaming. Like, as I said before, it needs to have the good internet, of course, the servers that have to be very good. And like, we only imagine like how many players want to play these games. Of course, like, yeah, taxing on servers, internet connection, like all these different factors regarding to cloud gaming. I mean, sure, there's the possibility. I mean, I would not mind if they want to play games via their servers, but that's also one if their servers can handle it. And of course, naturally, our internet connection can be stable and not just like eat up our data bills and have to pay Verizon like, I don't know, $500 or even $1,000 each time just because I want to play cloud gaming.
Yeah.
I could be easily mistaken, misunderstanding on that part, but it's just that we don't have any good examples of cloud gaming. And the fact that, again, we see these online queues and of course like button lag imports, like I would not play a fighting game or like that demands lightning quick reflexes, which again I need that in like anything that's like very taxing, like fighting games, shooting games of the sorts. Like if it's like a platforming game or something that's very easy, like I don't know, a simple, like let's take for example the basic Mario platformer of like the original Mario, if it can do like stream Mario games on a cloud service, which is the basic of like that, then sure. Or like something similar to a Mario 35, that battle royale, sure, I could probably imagine seeing that, them doing that. But if something that's like really needs that reflex, that precise timing that required for many action games, platform games, shooting games, all these things that like require precision in these things, that's the thing that's unfortunately we have no good examples of ever since Stadia. So overall, it's just like it's really difficult. And if they can manage, if these companies can manage to pull it off, regardless of any system, via Switch, Stadia, PlayStation Now, whatever system they can manage to pull it off, if they can actually manage to pull off a good cloud gaming system streaming service with any of their titles, then okay, we have some hope. But as of right now, it's just very difficult for the time being.
So yeah, it's a very complicated issue, and it's very interesting to see how this all plays out. So, and if you, of course, at home, have any ideas of games you would like to see streamed, Switch or cloud streamed to the Switch, please let us know. All right. And with that, we are in this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler,
there's a poll.
Stop. You can put down the votes now. Yes, stop the count. No, I mean, I didn't say that. I didn't say stop the count. I said put down the votes. I totally did not say stop the count. Again, we voted for Biden. But the poll question we had last week was about the Age of Calamity demo and if you played it and whether you are excited for it. 83% said you played the demo and you loved it. 8.3% said you played it but you're on the fence. None of you said you're not into it, and 8% of you said you haven't played it yet. So that's fine. It's a fair number. So.
And yeah, actually, now that you mentioned that, I really actually do want to go play again the Age of Calamity though, because I just want to grind up the tiers before it's released. I think in like when does it? Yeah, like in 2 weeks' time. So might as well grind up for the tiers right now.
It's on 23rd, so 2 weeks and oh, is it 20th? Sorry, 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks away.
Mm-hmm.
So. But yeah, so yeah, we are ever closer to the Age of Calamity, and I'm expecting more trailers soon based on a Japanese leak, so we shall see what happens. But no poll question this week. So, for Wario Will and the still voting counting presence of Tellius Tyler, I am Triforce Todd, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We've made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!